Good morning and welcome as we celebrate the 16th Sunday after Pentecost this morning. May the Lord bless your worship this morning and open your hearts and minds to the forgiveness of your sins and to life everlasting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Come Thou Almighty King.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, September 28th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Josh Hellman. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 905, Come Thou Almighty King, 905 in the Lutheran Service Book. Bev Lawling is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in remembrance of the 61st anniversary of her wedding to Orville Lawling. Emma Knauer is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered together to hear God's word, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace and for the sake of Christ, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And the Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace so that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Amos, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountains of Samaria. The notable men, men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, and then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster, and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to you who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest of oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to Christian questions and their answers, do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, this is my blood.
The epistle reading from 1 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, and not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober, sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We now confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 850, God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn 850 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. And he called out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this fire. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a picture we have before us today in this story that Jesus is telling. Last week we thought about and pondered a conspiracy that is against us, a demonic conspiracy to rob us of our faith and pull us away from God, our Creator and our Savior. Now we see the outcome of that conspiracy. Here we see a rich man and a poor beggar, a beggar named Lazarus. Now this story or parable of Jesus is not a story or a parable about personal wealth. The man who's unnamed does happen to be rich, and the man who is poor and is a beggar, his name is Lazarus. And however, the big difference between these two is not that one has a lot of money and one doesn't, but it's basically that one has faith in salvation by God and the other has no faith in salvation by God. One clearly confesses their sin and trusts God for forgiveness. The other is self-righteous. We're given to understand through the discourse of Jesus that the one man, Lazarus, believed the word of God, and the other man, the unnamed man, did not pay attention to or listen to the word of God. Lazarus was a hearer of the word. He paid attention to it. He acted upon it. He was repentant and he trusted in God for forgiveness and for salvation. Lazarus wasn't in heaven because he had such a miserable life here on earth and was now being rewarded for it. That would have been works righteousness. Now the other man, the rich man, while being in the places where the word was, he did not take the word of God to heart. He was a lover of money. He was a lover of the pleasures and the things that his money could provide. And on top of that, he didn't have any care for other people. He was absolutely absorbed in himself. And so each man received the outcome of their faith or the lack of faith, whichever the case may be. Lazarus, who was never invited to a banquet at all, is seated at the heavenly banquet and is in paradise, released from his earthly tribulations. The rich man finds himself in earthly torment and eternal torment and eternal punishment because he did not repent of his sins and he felt no need to trust God for his salvation. Okay, so the question, I think, here is, what is the nature of the doomed, right? What is the nature of those who are doomed to eternal torment and eternal punishment? And, you know, just looking at this picture of eternal fire, there's just one sentence. I am in agony in this flame. Wow. It's minimalistic. Jesus doesn't go to great lengths to describe the torments of hell. He does not go to great lengths to describe the pain and suffering that the rich man is in. Just these simple words, I am in agony in this fire. It seems like this is a place that is... Well, there's enough fear in that word to just let us say, you know, hey, this is a place I don't want to go. This is a place I do not want my family members to go. This is a place that we do not want to be. This place of torment and this place of eternal fire. It seems, though, that for the rich man, hell began on earth. Now, don't get me wrong. Well, I'm not saying that there's such a thing as hell on earth. There is no such thing as hell on earth. There is no place on earth where God has withdrawn his love from, where God doesn't care for, that God isn't intimately and infinitely concerned about, right? So there is no such thing as hell on earth. But for the rich man, his descent into hell began here on earth. And the first steps to the lake of fire are taken by that rich man here on earth, even as he steps over Lazarus. Because when you listen to the parable and listen to the story, you know, the Lazarus was laid at the rich man's gate. Like, at the gate! Like, it's almost, you're getting the impression that the rich man had to, you know, stand two steps back and flick open the latch on the gate, push it open, and step over Lazarus and make sure he didn't, you know, let his robes touch any of his sores or something like that. Think of Lazarus laying at the gate of the rich man's home. The rich man had to step over him, or at the least go around him, go around this poor man. And the thing is, that takes some conscious effort. Like, you got to think about doing that. And it leads me to wonder at which of our sins take a conscious effort. Things like, we know what we're doing, and we ignore our conscience, or that the Word of God is simply not making an impression on us. Theft, stealing things. You know, you have to think about that ahead of time. You've got to plan that out. Whatever addictions we might have and carry with us, you know, you've got to think about them. And your body is fighting against it or fighting for it, and your mind is fighting against it or fighting for it. And you have to make a conscious decision to partake of whatever it is, whether it's alcohol abuse or drug abuse or you know, any number of other things that get our lives to become a habit that we shouldn't have. And disrespect of parents, right? That's always a big one in the scriptures, the sin of disrespecting our parents. And we don't want to, you know, it takes conscious effort to do that. I mean, it takes conscious effort to respect your parents. So, you know, we want to think, which of our sins? Because it's so easy to look at the rich man and be like, oh, that guy's terrible. Oh, that guy's awful. But what about us? What about what we do? You know, we should see in ourselves both of these men and where we're at in each place, right? And figure out where we are at. You know, the rich man was self-absorbed. Aren't we self-absorbed? Aren't we the same type of people who have trouble living outside of ourselves, who think of ourselves first before we think? I mean, we all do it because we're all broken, poor, miserable sinners. We all do it. We all attend to our own joys and our own pleasures and our own comforts and our own downtime before we think of other folks. And, you know, this is what you're kind of thinking about. You're like, oh my gosh, okay. All right, so I need to examine myself. I need to think about myself. The rich man was concerned with his pleasure. The rich man was unable to live outside of himself. And just what does that show us? The rich man shows us that his true self was greed. He shows his true self in his inability to have compassion. He shows his true self in his unwillingness to repent. Examine the nature of the man when he's in the flames. So you look at what he says when he's in torment. This is what he says. He thinks he can command Lazarus to do stuff. Like, he is in Hades, and he's still trying to command Lazarus to do something. These words are not words of repentance, but they're words born, you know, out of a desperate situation that he was in. He still thinks of himself first, and he still tries to get his way from Abraham. He He says, send Abraham down here, or send Lazarus down here. Dip his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Not a, I'm sorry for what I did, but fix it now, Abraham. Fix it now. And what follows is a discussion and a dawning realization of the sinfulness of the rich man. The rich man never in his life used his wealth to comfort Lazarus. In fact, his wealth became a curse for him, a curse in life that led to eternal torment. His outward behavior of excessive feasting and the lack of generosity only indicated that in his heart he was not a gracious or merciful man. Instead, he was a proud and arrogant man. He did not live like Lazarus did, that is, in a life of repentance. And the evidence given is that Lazarus did live a life full of repentance, and that his life was a life of confidence in God. Lazarus trusted that his life was in God's hands, that his life was dependent upon God, and that he looked to and trusted God for his daily bread. At Abraham's side, he received the outcome of his faith, the mercy of God and life everlasting. He was able to look past this life to the life to come and to cling to God's forgiveness and cling to God's righteousness. Now comes the question for us today. First question, where do you want to spend eternity? Where would you like to go? To flames and torment, or to the eternal banquet hall of God? Of course you wish to spend eternity with our Savior in heaven. You're here, aren't you? Right? You're not unregenerate. You are the folks who are concerned about these things. You are the ones who are worried about this. You are the ones who come each week to repent of your sins and seek the forgiveness of God. As a human being, though, the truth of the matter is we are all afflicted with original sin. Every single one of us. And that original sin leads us to all sorts of actual sins. So we shouldn't look down on the rich man in Jesus' story. We should look upon him. We should look upon him as a vehicle to examine ourselves. And I think at the root of the rich man's sin was self-centeredness. And so the challenge for us today is to look at this man and then look at ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, where am I self-centered at? Where am I self-absorbed and at? And repent of that great addiction we have to the self. Repent of self-centeredness and self-absorption. Repent of the sins that stem from that self-centeredness. And we need to take the scriptures seriously. The scriptures that let us know that we are curved inward. Yes, I am confident that you do and you desire to hear thee and believe in the absolution that is spoken to and upon you. Not only that, but I am convinced that you are of those people and those individuals and those believers who struggle your struggles each and every day of the week. And that you are the ones who, yes, know that you fall short of even your own Christian goals. You really are those disciples of Jesus Christ who henceforth desire to amend your sinful life. And you lean towards turning outward to Christ. Right? You don't want to be turned inward on yourself. You want to be turned outward onto Christ. And you are working hard as fathers, you fathers out there, and husbands. You are working hard to lead your families into all righteousness. You're working hard as fathers to lead your families as you should lead them. You're working to love your neighbor as yourself, each and every one of you, working to love your neighbor as yourself. And unlike the brothers of this rich man in Jesus' story, you actually have gotten to encounter someone who has risen from the dead, proclaiming to you to repent and believe the good news. You have encountered Jesus Christ. You have met that man who has risen from the dead. You have encountered him in the pages and the passages of the Holy Scripture. You have met him in the waters of your baptism. And you have seen and met him and sat with him at the holy feast of the sacrament of the altar. For what does the office of the keys say? What does absolution say? Right? It says, do you believe that my words, that is the pastor's words, do you believe that my words are not my words, but instead they are the words of Christ, that the forgiveness spoken is not my forgiveness, but that the forgiveness spoken to you is the forgiveness of Christ that is spoken to you. And you are of the folks who say, yes, we believe that. We believe that the forgiveness spoken to us is the forgiveness of Christ that is spoken to us. That they are not the pastor's words, but Christ's words. Repentant sinners, you come to this house. You come to this house knowing that you need Christ's forgiveness. And you humble yourselves before Christ and you confess your sins and you receive his absolution. You believe that. You are the repentant sinners who are sorry for your sins, who are contrite, and who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is, you have faith in Jesus Christ. God-given faith that Jesus is he who was born for you, who lived for you, who died for you, who rose again for you. You have met Christ. You have met the one who has overcome death and the grave. And in him you struggle to overcome your own sins. And you do desire to love your neighbor as yourself. So as you go your way today, as you head back out into the world from this place of refuge, don't go discouraged. Go out in the peace of the Lord. Go out in his righteousness. And go out in the strength of Jesus Christ your Savior. And seek to live your lives out as those who are living in this world as followers of Jesus Christ, who look at the misery around you and seek to impact in your own little way the world that you have been given to lay a piece of impact on. Trust Christ. Live out your life in Christ. And trust that your Lord and Savior has taken care of everything else. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of life, you provide us with daily bread in abundance. Preserve us from the worship of idleness and love of leisure, lest we misuse your gifts to our ruin. Foster in us contentment, righteousness, godliness, faith and love, steadfastness and gentleness. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as you once gave Moses and the prophets so that people might hear your word, continue to provide pastors and other laborers to make your gospel known among the nations. Preserve those who currently serve within your church and raise up more workers to labor in the harvest. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, preserve our homes from idols of sins and idleness. Bless fathers and mothers as they catechize their children, that generations to come might faithfully guard their hearts and rejoice in your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you have promised to hold accountable all who are in authority over us. We ask you to bless our president. We ask you to be with our governor, all legislative bodies, all judges and magistrates, and all those who serve the public trust, that they may act with integrity and honor in the fulfillment of all their duties, and serve the causes of peace and justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you open the eyes of the blind, and you lift up those who are bowed down. Hear our prayers on behalf of those who are in need of your mercy. We thank you for Lois Batten's successful surgery. We pray for her recovery, that you would strengthen her. And we also pray that you would continue to strengthen Steve Sauer in his illness and comfort all those who have received new diagnoses of bodily ailments, giving them the assurance of your presence as they begin the road of medical care. Provide restoration and deliverance according to your good and gracious will. And in the time of affliction that is given to them, strengthen their faith that they would cling to your promises and praise your name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, embolden all faithful Christians here and scattered throughout the world. Grant that we may always make the good confession, even in the midst of persecution. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we praise your name for your faithfulness to Abraham, Lazarus, and to all the saints who have gone before us. Enliven us by your word and sacraments, that convinced of Jesus' death and resurrection, we may eagerly await the day of our resurrection for his sake. Through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise. Taught by our Lord in trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. Amen.
The closing hymn is number 672, Jerusalem the Golden, hymn 672 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Just a couple of our announcements, extra ones this morning. Concerning youth group this afternoon, junior high and senior high youth groups will both meet here from 3 to 4:45 this afternoon. The senior high will have Christian formation night and a games night with Pastor Thompson, and we will meet in the youth room. Upstairs in the youth room, that's senior high. Junior high youth will have a movie night in the junior high room. That's just catty corner up on the third floor of the Ed building. If it's too hot in there, they'll find a cooler location within the building to have their activity. You're asked to bring a snack or a drink to share, and put your snack or drink on one of the two tables that will be set up outside of the youth room. Also, parents who are interested in the Higher Things Conference for next Sunday, please arrive with your youth at 3:30 and go to Wittenberg Fellowship, go to the auditorium, and they'll have a discussion in the auditorium about getting ready to go to the youth gathering next summer. Also, we're still looking for a nominee from the congregation to be our nominee to the Circuit Forum. For going up for a delegate to the Synodical Convention. So if you're interested in being a delegate to the Synodical Convention next summer, please let me know so we can get your name on the list for nominees from the circuit for the lay delegate. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.